An appearance of Christ. I thought that was a good thing to talk about. Jesus died on Good Friday. He came back on Easter Sunday. And then he spent a bit of time, I think it was about 40 days, before Ascension. When's Ascension today? That's a question. I don't know. I was thinking about it on the way here. When's Ascension Day? Anybody know? I think it's about the 26th, isn't it? No? Well, Ascension Day's coming up at some time this month. You can look it up. That's your homework. When's Ascension Day? It's coming up. And Jesus ascended to heaven. But before that, he appeared to his disciples a number of times. Here's one of them, Luke 24. This is a joining in service, by the way. You couldn't answer my first question. So we will stop halfway through and we'll talk to one another. Luke 24, starting at verse 33, says this. And they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those assembled together, saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. What were they talking about? Well done. 14th of May. Give me a round of applause. He just worked that out all on her own. 14th of May, so it's very soon. It's just a few days away. And what was happening? That reading, what were we talking about? That's the road to Emmaus, yeah? That's the road to Emmaus. Jesus appeared to them, he broke bread, and they recognised him. And they were so excited, they went back to Jerusalem. And they didn't expect this to happen. While they were still talking about this, they were discussing what they'd seen. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe because of the joy of amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. I've always wondered what broiled fish was. Is that boiled fish? Is that smoked fish? No, actually, they reckon it's barbecued fish. So that was rather nice, wasn't it? So they gave him a bit of barbecued fish. Why they say broiled, I don't know. But, just like Jesus, when he cooked the fish on the beach, it would have been fish like that. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that's written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that he could understand the scriptures, and he told them this was what was written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Did you notice the gospel there? In verse 47, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. He did that for you and for me. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Repentance and forgiveness of sins has been preached to you today. You can have it today. But the nations need to respond. They need to respond in repentance. If you haven't responded to him today, do so today, because one day it'll be too late. We'll all stand before him. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account to him. And his desire is that all men are saved. You'll be pleased to know that this is a three-point sermon. I'll tell you the points if you like. Here are the points. Peace be with you. Number one. I'll spend more time on that than anything else. And you open their minds to the scriptures. Number two. Okay? Number three. You are witnesses. Peace be with you. He said. That's what he said, really. He said, shalom. Peace be with you. The English translation is peace be with you. This is a normal Jewish greeting. If you go to a Jewish household, they're likely to say to you, shalom. And when you leave, shalom. It signifies a comprehensive blessing of wholeness, restoration and harmony with God. It's far exceeding just peace in our world. It's everything. It's peace in our hearts and in our minds. A friend of mine who was an evangelist, he's now about 85, he used to say to people, have you got peace in your heart and mind? Because that's what God wants you to have. In Luke 8:48, Jesus said this, daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. That was the woman with the issue of her blood who touched his cloak because she was so desperate. Her life was changed completely. She went away changed by the encounter with Jesus, whole, not just physically. Completely made whole. Jesus said to her, peace be with you. Go in peace. Shalom. Luke 7:50. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Who did he say that to? The woman who anointed his feet with oil. Go in peace. Shalom. Your faith has saved you. Many criticized her for her forwardness, but Jesus reassures her. He says, shalom. He calms her fears totally. You can be made totally whole and at peace with God today if only you'll say yes to him. And as a Christian, I need to continually say yes to him. I need to wake up each morning and say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Many of these followers that Jesus was saying this to were suffering from a severe case of PTSD. Why? This Messiah that they really believed in had been torn apart. He'd been disgraced. He'd been hated. He'd been tortured. He'd been humiliated. He'd be abandoned by all of them, nailed to a cross, naked, in front of everyone. But now he appears alive. No wonder they thought they were seeing a ghost. Man, they were shaking. And suddenly this happens. What's going on? From the grief and confusion to joy in a few days. Is that crazy or what? It's crazy. But you know, Jesus wants us to know peace. In amongst everything that happens. Jesus literally went through hell for us. He knows that life is tough. He's been there. He was despised. He was rejected. He was hated. He was betrayed. He was mocked. He lost friends. Remember when Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus? He was grief-stricken at the death of his cousin, John the Baptist. He was so grief-stricken that he got into a boat and he sought to be alone to process the loss. He left areas because of persecution, and he was misunderstood by his own family. Bishop J.C. Ryle, the Bishop of Liverpool, who lived in the 19th century, he said this, and I think this is really, really interesting. He'd obviously found peace. Nothing can hurt God's people except and until God permits. We are all immortal until our work is done. Isn't that amazing? You cannot be killed. You're completely immortal until your work is done. You're not going anywhere till you finish what God wants you to do. To realize that nothing happens in the world except by the eternal counsels of our Father and according to his eternal powers is one great secret of a calm, peaceful and contented life. Have you got it? You can have a completely calm, contented life just by knowing that God is completely in control. Nothing can hurt God's people except and until God permits. We are all immortal until our work is done. To realize that nothing happens in the world except by eternal counsels of our Father and according to his eternal plans is one grand secret of living a calm, peaceful and contented life. I love it. Nothing can kill you. We are totally secure in God. Look how secure you are. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I didn't write down where that comes from. Where's that come from? Is that Romans somewhere, isn't it? Is that Romans somewhere? For by grace you've been saved through faith. I think it's Romans. Romans 8. I think it's Romans 8. So that should be Romans 8 verse 8 because I've got the verse down. I haven't got the chapter. We are God's handiwork. We're God's poetry and we're God's masterpiece. Jesus said shalom as the first thing that he said when he walked in. What else could he have said? He could have said, surprise! He could have said, to God be the glory. He could have said, well, you didn't expect this, did you? He could have said, oh, you of little faith. He could have said, I told you. But he didn't. He said, shalom. Because that was the most important thing. That's what he wanted them to get. Peace. Wholeness. Peace be with you. Shalom. When we come to worship, Jesus wants you to know shalom. When we wake up in the morning, oh no, Monday morning, shalom. When we're just about to take that exam and we're not quite sure whether we studied enough, shalom. When we're in grief, shalom. When we get a bad diagnosis, shalom. When we're disappointed, shalom. And when we fail, I fail often. Shalom. He opened their minds. So we got to the end of that. That's the end of point one, okay? So you know how long the sermon's going to be, because I've got two more and they're shorter. Okay? Happy with that? Okay. He opened their minds. Now, for this, you need to know a little Greek. And I do know a little Greek. He works in a kebab shop just down in Welling. The Greek word for opening their minds, or the word for minds, is nous. I thought, I know that word. That's a slang word. You say, you know, you've got enough nous, you can sort it out, mate. Understanding. It's Southeast London slang word. You've got to have nous, mate. In the slang way, we spell it N-O-U-S-E, but actually, it's actually spelled N-O-U-S. Nous. He opened their minds, not just their heads, but their understanding, their mental grasp of what he was really saying. How different is that today? It isn't. Unless Jesus opens our understanding, we cannot comprehend his truth. Don't be surprised that sometimes you might speak the gospel to someone and they look at you like you've gone crazy. Man, it's not difficult, is it? Jesus died, he come back to life, and he's alive today, and if you believe in him, you can be with him forever. That's not difficult, is it? But people don't get it. You think you're talking rocket science. I go, huh? That's because unless Jesus opens your mind and your understanding, you cannot comprehend his truth. You might be thinking, I don't get this. I don't know this piece. How can you really trust? How can you know this is really true? Jesus needs to open our minds. Oh, that we were humble enough to say to God, I don't get it. Please open my mind. But it takes humility to do that, doesn't it? Because we got to say to him, I need your help. I cannot do it alone. Reid Wiseman, he was the leader of the Artemis II expedition to space. He was the lead astronaut. When he saw this, which is the eclipse of the moon, he said to his colleague, our human brains haven't evolved enough yet to comprehend what we are seeing here. It's indescribable. We cannot comprehend God because God's understanding has no limit. My understanding has a serious limit. Our understanding has a serious limit. It's beyond us. We cannot understand. Looking at this picture, Psalm 147 says, he determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. Isn't that interesting? There are billions and billions of stars, and God has named every one. That's beyond us. Great is our Lord, mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. That's for me. This is your bit. Ask God for understanding, because understanding comes from him. What would you like to understand today? Okay. You can either pray with someone, or you can pray on your own. It's entirely up to you. So turn to someone close to you and That means physically near you. And you can say to that person, I want to pray on my own, thanks. So you can just pray on your own. But you can also pray with that person. What would you like to understand? Because we need to ask God to open our minds to understand. How long do you need? 3 minutes? Okay. I need to pray too, because we need our own minds opened. When I was at work, I used to talk about lifelong learning. Never stop learning. Never stop asking God for understanding. Never stop, because his understanding has no limit. Isn't that wonderful? Until we meet him. He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Why did I put that up? Because one day, the Bible says that one day all Israel's enemies will be destroyed. Zechariah 12, the Old Testament. On that day, I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem. And I will pour out on the house of David and then the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. Interesting, isn't it? Talking about Israel, that they will mourn for the one they have pierced. Who's Zechariah talking about? Jesus. That's a prophetic word. It's talking about Israel. They will look on the one they have pierced. I'm not suggesting we've arrived there, but certainly we're close to that, aren't we, at the moment. And things, we only got to see the news. But God says, I will destroy all those who attack Jerusalem. Got to look at the times and understand them. Jesus opened their minds that they might understand. In the end times, it says, Jesus' own people, Israel, would recognize him. Isaiah 53, a more well-known part of Isaiah. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's been read to people within the past, not knowing where that came from. They said, well, it must be in the New Testament. This was written 600 years before Jesus died. Some people think it's so accurate, it must have been written after Jesus died. But it continues. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a sin offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. After he has suffered, he will see the light of light and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. He opened their minds that they could understand. It's imperative that we keep on reading the word and asking God for understanding. That's the end of point two, you'll be pleased to know. Shalom and understanding. He opened their minds. What's the last one? You are witnesses to these things. Having seen these things, it's natural to want to share them. If you have great interesting things happen, you tell people, don't you? If you have a great holiday, you tell people. You get a new job, you tell people. If you win the lottery, you tell people. Not that I'm likely to win the lottery because I don't do it. That would be a miracle, wouldn't it? My cousin rang me up once. He did one of these postcode lotteries. He won £176,000. He was quite pleased. And his next door neighbour got twice that because he bought two tickets. He rung me up and told me, he said, Steve, I've won £176,000. Which he was very pleased about because his wife had recently lost a pension that she should have got, so he filled it in. So he was very pleased. If we get married, we have a wedding, we tell everybody. If a new life arrives in your family, we tell everybody. Any good news? I went fishing the other day. I tell everybody. They weren't very big, but I did catch something. Because I went this week and I caught nothing, so there's no pictures. That week, at least I caught two. I was happy. I caught something. I'm happy. The news of Jesus transforming our lives is not just for us. It's for the world. It's not a private affair. Some people say, oh, religion is a private thing. No, it isn't. Jesus is for everybody. We are part of his family. And the family role is to share the news with everyone. Hello? The gospel offers hope and eternal life to a broken world, and the gospel is the only hope. People who aren't believers, people who aren't Christians, are drowning, and we have the only lifeboat. There's no other. The gospel is the only lifeboat. Are you going to throw it to them? Or are you going to say, no, I'm going to let you drown? We've got to throw them the lifeboat. It's the only way that they're not going to get drowned. Perhaps I should be asking myself the question, who can I share the gospel with? A friend of mine, Mickey Walker, he's an Irishman. He's now 82 years old. He rides a Harley Davidson. He looks like Father Christmas. Do you know what he said? He said this to me once. He said, I've never met anyone who Jesus doesn't want to speak to. It's a lovely saying, isn't it? Jesus is asking us, follow me. Follow me, he said. And what does Jesus do? He goes around looking for people to save. Follow me. And now we, you and me, are his mouth and his feet to go there and to tell them. I love that saying. I'll never forget what Mickey Walker said to me. I've never met anyone that Jesus doesn't want to speak to. How can I share the gospel? At the moment, online for free, my organisation is running a course called Evangelism Essentials. And you can go on and chat with other people about how to share the gospel. That's easy, isn't it? It's free. Or you can do something even more amazing. And a mate of mine's going to talk about it. He's quite young. Can you put the video on? Is that possible? I hope you can hear it.
Hi there, I'm Edward. I'm a part-time trainee evangelist for OAC, and I did the Year of Evangelism training course about a year and a half ago. I decided to join this course as I wanted to help grow in my evangelism skills to be able to go out and tell people about Jesus. The evangelism training course was very helpful for me to be able to speak to people in one-to-one conversations so that I would know what to say and be able to defend the gospel clearly, even helping me in apologetics, speaking to people of different faiths, and battling difficult subjects with ease. The Year of Evangelism training also helped me with my street preaching work, where I would go out on the streets of London and proclaim the gospel in a very bold and confident and clear way so that people could hear and understand the truth of what Jesus has done for them. It's also helped me in my leadership skills, where I'm now leading the evangelism team at my church, St. James Muswell Hill, where I'm now encouraging others to also go out and share their faith. It's also guided me on how to give talks in Bible studies and to youth so that I'm able to clearly present God's word to them. And the Year of Evangelism training course has overall helped build my confidence in going out on the streets so that I know what to say to people so that God's name is lifted high. So whether you want to become an evangelist in the future or you're just a Christian wanting to help grow in confidence in sharing the gospel, I think that the Year of Evangelism training course is for you, as God says to lift his name on high. And this course has really helped me be able to do that in a very clear and biblical way. So I hope you find this helpful and looking forward to seeing you out on an outreach sometime. God bless you. Almost forgot, guys, if you are interested in joining the Year of Evangelism training course with OAC, please scan the QR code that will pop up now. God bless you.
That's good, wasn't it? I think he did it well. He was 19 when he started. He's now 20. So God bless you, Edward. Thanks very much. Okay. So that's something we could think about. How can I share the gospel? Love. Pray. Be ready. Carry literature. Be watchful. Really care for every person you come across. Do you carry something with you? I carry million-pound notes. You've probably seen them loads of times before. They're easy to carry, easy to give away. Some people carry a gospel. I'll say this. If you're not carrying anything, my question is, why not? Don't you want anybody to get saved? Because if you've got no desire, you have to think to yourself, what Jesus am I following? Am I following the Jesus that went around calling people, or am I not? Real followers of Jesus walk and talk with Jesus all the time and say to him, what do you want me to do? Okay. And that's the end. What's the 3 points? Shalom. God wants you to know real peace in your heart and mind. And you can have it today. Be open-minded. Not in a world's way, but allow Jesus to transform your mind daily. Romans 12 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing and perfect will. Last point, you are witnesses. And the great thing is, you're absolutely immortal till all your work is done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you were willing to come and suffer in such a way that you did. And we remember that on Good Friday. We thank you, you did that out of love. You paid the price for us on the cross. And we thank you that you came back to life and you showed yourself to your disciples. And we're so pleased, Lord, that you did that. We're so pleased that you want to show us yourself today. Help us to be transformed by meeting you today, to have such peace in our hearts that other people will say, what is it about you? You're so peaceful. And we'll be able to say, it's Jesus in my life. So go with us today, we pray, Lord. Thank you for one another. We bless you. We bless you for the tea and those making it and the biscuits. And we bless you for our lives that you've given to us. Help us to live them for your glory today and into the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed that. God bless you. And time for tea and coffee.